talking about Mother's Day. We're going to be talking about how a mother's love is a reflection of God. That's the example that he uses to all of us for his love, is a mother's love. We're going to be going to Proverbs 31. It's going to be where the majority of the message is this morning. I've got a couple of verses we're going to look at before we get to Proverbs 31, but if you want to go ahead and flip to Proverbs 31, that's where we're going to be. And while you're flipping there to, again, Proverbs chapter 31, there's something that kind of crossed my mind over the past day or so that I really wanted to touch on. We've talked about it before, that when you get into the Hebrew, that there's only one word that's used for mother or grandmother, or, you know, they just use that word mother. Or like for nieces and nephews, they'll just say brother or sister. And so many times we think in modern times, like, look at how much further our language has come, how sophisticated we are. We make these distinctions and we separate it. But in this case, I actually think we've probably gotten lost from where we should have been. Maybe it's better that we don't have all of those words. That the distinction for that familial relationship is simple and boiled down to just that one thing. Because when they use that word mother for mothers and grandmothers and all the matriarchs of the family, basically, think about what that really says. Like, I know my mom's love for me. I know how much she loves me and how great that is, how much she's cared for me. But I know how much my grandmothers have loved and cared for me and watched over me. I know how much my aunt loves and watches over me. My mother-in-law, my stepmother, like, all of you have watched over me the same way that my own mom does. So maybe the Hebrews were onto something by not having all of these different words, and instead of just taking all of the matriarchs back to mother. That all of these women that have watched over my life deserve the same praise and respect on Mother's Day that I even give to my own blood mother. And that's not to take away a biological mom's love and how great that is, but there's a great love that comes from people that weren't that blood mother as well. So I just a thought that I had over the past couple of days. Again, we're going to be in Proverbs 31, but I want us to look at this verse here in Isaiah 66 first. This is Isaiah chapter 66, and this is verse 13. And this is God telling us how he loves us. It says, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem." So God using a mother's love and comfort as an example of how he loves us. And when it says they're comforted in Jerusalem, what that means is the place of the throne. The comfort we'll have in the presence of God. So, "And you shall be comforted in the presence of God," like you're comforted in the presence of your mom. Think about when you've had a bad day or rough things are going on, how calming that presence is when you can go to your mom for something like that. That's why he's using that example. He's going to comfort you just like a mom would. And then here there's a verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Now this is Paul talking about him and his followers going to the church there in Thessalonica, the Thessalonians, and how they treated them. He says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children," nurse there being the mom. So Paul is using this as a metaphor for how they approached the people that they were with at the church. So not only is that the example that God uses for how he loves us, but how we should love and care for each other as Christians. We should love each other the way a mother loves her child. So that's how we should treat each other, with that care and comfort that a mom would have. So now let's go to Proverbs 31. This is where the majority of our message is going to be this morning. Now, some of you may know this chapter. A lot of people will refer to it as the virtuous woman. And if they're teaching this lesson, a lot of times they'll start at verse 10. But they're missing a big part of the picture here. So that's why I want to start at verse 1. Look at what it says here. "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." So this prophecy about a virtuous woman is coming from his mom. This is a mom's love for her child, and she's giving him advice and wisdom. Now, you may wonder who Lemuel is. That King Lemuel means 2L and 4L. That means to God and for God. Lemuel is Solomon. That's who that is here, Solomon. He's part of that royal seed line through which Christ would come, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Talmud actually says that Solomon's called by six names. We see him as Solomon, Jedediah, Koheleth, son of Jacob, Agurah, and Lemuel. So this is Solomon who is speaking about here. So this is a prophecy from Solomon's mother to him. She's giving her son advice. Proverbs 31, verse 2. "What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows?" So Solomon's mother's asking For who did I suffer through childbirth and pregnancy for? Who do I have this intense love for? Her son, of course. And what there's repeated three times, emphasizing the strength of her feelings. That's why she repeats it instead of just making it one question. She's showing the strength of her love for her son. Now, these first seven verses that we're going to see before we get to the virtuous woman is not about a woman or a wife. This is just advice to her son. But remember, look at this in the context of a mother is telling this to her son. So how mothers love their children and will guide them through life. So verse 3. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. So the word for strength here in Hebrew is chayil. It's the same term that's going to be used as virtuous in verse 10. And what Solomon's mother is saying here is, don't waste your time and energy on women and ways of the world that's going to pull you down or get in the way of you being a good king. And you may wonder, well, like, why is she making such a big point about don't let a woman pull you down where you're not a righteous king? So does anyone remember off the top of your head, just know this, how many wives and concubines did Solomon have? Does anybody remember that? 700 wives and 300 concubines. Women was Solomon's weakness. So his mom knows her son well enough to say, quit giving all of your strength to women. They're pulling you down and not letting you be a good king. She is not talking bad about women. She just knows her son's weakness, okay? So verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. And in verse 5. Lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. So Solomon's mother is warning him to avoid alcohol. Now, this is not saying that you're not supposed to have a little bit of alcohol. It's not even necessarily saying that Solomon shouldn't drink anything. It was actually a pretty normal staple of their diet then, and they would have it at the royal banquets. But what she's saying is that you are a king. You rule over the law. You make legal precedents here. So you can't be drunk when you are in court ruling over a legal matter. You wouldn't want a judge today if you go in because you've had some type of criminal offense and they're drunk making the judgment against you. That's what she's saying. And actually in the same book of Proverbs in chapter 21 and chapter 23, we see that Proverbs condemns drunkenness. It doesn't say that we're not supposed to drink alcohol. You can have alcohol, but it's supposed to be in moderation. That's what it's talking about here. And she's specifically saying don't be drunk as a ruler that's maintaining law and order. And you're going to see here that it's not a complete prohibition. So verse 6, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. So if someone is in bad medical shape and getting ready to pass away, give them medicines that will ease that passing, and wine to those that are heavy of hearts. And look here at verse 7, let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. So if you're stressing and anxious, sometimes a little wine to ease your stomach or to calm you down is okay. It is not a complete prohibition on drinking. It is all in moderation. That is the key thing, moderation. Chapter 31, verse 8 here. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. So what Solomon's mother is saying here is dumb is just saying someone that's not educated in how to defend themselves in court. So he's the king ruling over the courts, and she's saying, if someone comes in and doesn't understand the law and can't defend themselves, you should be a righteous king and speak up for them. And appointed to destruction means orphans. So she's telling Solomon to care for those that have need, to take care of other people. So good wisdom from a mom to her son, especially a son that is in a leadership position. He is a king. He's a ruler. So verse 9. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Again, Solomon's mom just showing him that he should be charitable in his heart, that he should care for others and speak up for those that can't speak for themselves. He's responsible for administering justice in legal disputes, and she's just encouraging him to take up the cause of the needy, that he needs to judge righteously, following the example that God sets judging the world. God is always fair, and he judges righteously. So she's telling him to follow God's example here. Now in verse 10, we're going to start looking at the virtuous woman. This is what most people would go through on Mother's Day talking about a good woman. And it's 22 verses. Now we can't see this in English, so just kind of come with me on this. But it's what's called an acrostic. Now what that means is in the Hebrew, not in the English, but in the Hebrew, each verse begins with the letter that precedes the last. So say this next verse would be A, then B, C, D, down through it. We can't translate that to English because we have more letters than they have, and our letters don't line up exactly. So you won't see it in English, but it's there if you go back to the Hebrew. But the point there being that this is used to emphasize the great lesson that King Solomon's supposed to learn here. It's written in an acrostic to emphasize it. So don't worry about the fact that we don't see it the same way that we don't see it in the Hebrew. Just understand that it's showing that this is important. This is something that Solomon should really listen to. And remember what we just talked about with him having 700 wives and 300 concubines. His mom probably made this important because she knew his weaknesses and he failed to listen to this. He didn't follow through listening to this advice. And all the moms here can probably relate to that, of giving advice to your kids that we didn't listen to, that we just failed to follow through with even though you tried to help us. So let's start here in verse 10. So Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? So the English word here kind of limits us to it just being virtuous or excellent. The Hebrew word here is what we saw earlier, that chayil, and it just means strong in all moral qualities. So it's just a good woman in her heart. And it's saying that her price, her value is more than any precious gemstone. No matter what physical manifestation of wealth and value you can think of, she is more valuable than that. And as we go through these verses, it's going to lay out the things that a good woman should do. And I just want to make clear that I'm not going through these verses trying to give the women in this room advice on how you should be good women. I wanted to go through these verses because I see these verses, how to be a good woman, reflected in the women in this room. I'm not trying to tell you how you should be. I feel like you already are this. That's why I wanted to go through this. So please just understand that's where I'm coming from here. I'm not trying to show you how to be a woman. I just think you guys are great examples of this. So verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. And that no need there means no lack, and spoil can be translated treasure, saying that the heart of her husband trusts her and he doesn't need anything. And I think the majority of us guys in this room can speak to that. We are all spoiled. We have everything we need because of how great you guys are. Verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So she's a continual asset to her husband, bringing him good and not harm. And that faithfulness is consistent. Every day, she's a good woman. Verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. And verse 14. She is like the merchant's ships. She brings her food from afar. So making sure that the family's fed, that we're taken care of. And the merchant ships are bringing back treasure to sell, right? So she's constantly bringing in value to the family. And that doesn't necessarily mean physical goods. It is just the value that you bring into the family. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. Now, it'd be easy to read into this verse, getting up and making breakfast for all of us before we have to start our day. That's not necessarily what it means. If you do that for your husband, that's great. But how many of you are getting up and packing lunch boxes? How many of you are getting up and making sure the children are dressed and going to school? How many of you are getting up and getting ready and going to your job to make sure that the financial needs of the family are met? That's what this is talking about. Always being willing to do what the family needs. That a strong moral woman does that. And like I said, I see that reflected in each and every one of you here. All of you put forth everything you can to make sure not only your own individual families are taken care of, but think about how we've been gathering on Thursday nights and the food that y'all have brought and how many of us are gathering and eating together. You're making sure that we're all taken care of. Verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. Now, what this means when it says that she considers the field, it means thinking through something before making a decision. She doesn't just go and buy the field, she's thinking about it. She's pondering things, making sure it's the right thing to do. And then planting a vineyard. What does a vineyard do? It means that she's not just feeding the family today. She's planting a vineyard that will grow food for the future. A good woman looking to the future and not just this day. Verse 17, this verse here, if we really understand what it means, I think a lot of you will really like this one. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. What does that mean? That strength, that fighting nature that's within you. How many times do you hear that phrase, a mama bear? Well, actually, I heard a phrase this past week that I'd never heard before, Granny Grizzly. Now, I know you're called Nina and you're called Nana. I don't have a nice little name that goes with that, so you'll just have to be a Granny Grizzly even though you don't like it. But this is saying she is willing to fight for her family. And all of you know, you don't want to get in the way of a mom that's mad about something that's going on with her kids. That's what that's talking about there. The strength in her arms, how she will go to war for her family. Verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. Now this is the flip side of rising early in the morning. This is saying that even after the sun has gone down, she's still doing things for her family. How many of you are probably up in the mornings, like I said, getting ready to go to your job or getting the kids off to school, and then at night you're still dealing with laundry and putting laundry up or making sure that everything is taken care of for the next day? That constant moving and working for the family. Verse 19. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. Now, we lose something here because we don't deal with this a whole lot. The distaff and spindle were tools used to make linen, which the wife would use to make clothing for her household and to sell for profit. So just another verse showing how the good wife is constantly making sure her family is taken care of. Verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Going back to what Solomon's mother was trying to impart in him, to be charitable, to care for those around you. And it starts with our family, and as you take care of your family, it will spread out, and you'll do good for others. A lot of times for people that you don't even know, it's just that charitable heart. Now this next verse, 21, this made me think about Granny Birdie a lot. And Brittany, I know you'll probably have my back here. DJ, you probably, and Summer, you've probably dealt with this too, but look at this verse. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Clothed with scarlet means doubled layered. She's making sure that her family is clothed warmly. How many of us have walked out and said, where is your jacket? Right? That's what this is saying here. She will make sure her family is taken care of in the snow. She's not afraid of the snow. She's going to make sure you got your socks on. Where's your jacket? Verse 22. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Now, this is meaning like bed linens and clothing and comforters. And, you know, I thought about how many of us probably still have quilts or blankets or crocheted blankets that some, again, going back to what I said about the Hebrew, that word mother being used for so many, whether it came from an aunt, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, how many of you probably have those blankets in a closet somewhere at home? She was still following this right here, making the coverings of tapestry, making sure that you were warm and taken care of. That love being shown in her trying to care for you. Verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Now, Zach taught on this a couple weeks ago. When it says the gates, we could equate that more to like the courthouse or city hall now. This is where the leaders of the area would be gathering. It was the social and economic hub of the city. And elders are responsible for the legal rulings. And what this is saying is that the husband of a good wife is known and respected among the people of the town. And that's still true to this day. How many times do you hear behind every good man there's a great woman? If you have a great wife, a great mother, it is reflected and the people of the community know it. And again, I feel like that's reflected in the families that are here. Verse 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Again, she's just telling Solomon that a good wife is going to help you. She's not just going to want to hang on because you're a king and ride your coattails. She's going to bring value to the family as well. Verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. This is meaning through those good works she's doing, her moral standing, how she is trying her best to be a good woman, she is prepared for the future. And Miss Jackie, this made me think about you a lot because I know what you passed down to Amber, and it came directly from my mother-in-law through my mom, through my wife, Kira's mom, that she makes lists of everything. I can tell you right now, 6 months from now, on my payday, what bills have to be paid and how much extra money I have left. Because she has laid out our bills that far in advance. She is preparing for the future. And so this just made me think about that you're always thinking about the future, about how are we going to be not just okay today, but tomorrow and next month and next year. And then it even goes down to, what about the generations that come after us? Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Now, this is giving that wisdom, talking to your children and grandchildren and trying to give them that advice. Again, just like Solomon failed to listen to this, sometimes we don't listen and we're hard-headed and make mistakes. But don't give up giving that advice. We need it. Eventually, it may sink in and we'll do our best to follow it. Verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. This is just saying, again, taking care of the family and not being idle, constantly on the move. Like the other verse have said, rising before the sun has come up, going to bed after the sun has gone down, constantly making sure that the family is taken care of. And as many of you know, with Granny Birdie, she was constantly on the move, constantly doing something for the family. The only time that she took a break and had a little bit of idleness was when Bold and the Beautiful and Young and the Restless and Guiding Light was on. You give her time for her stories, and then she's going to be right back at it. So she took that little break, but she was moving from the morning till the night. Verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Now this verse should be telling us all what we should be doing today on Mother's Day. What does it say? Children blessing your moms and the husbands praising her. Let them know today on Mother's Day how appreciative we are for everything that they do and for how much we care and love them. And look, this next verse, it says, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Now, this next verse tells you as a husband, what should you be saying? So if you need something to say today, here's your verse. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. That's saying, hey, look, there's a lot of good women around here, but you're the best. You're better than all of them. And okay, we know that you can't all be the best, but you better tell her she's the best, okay? So all of you are the best today. Let your husband tell you that you're better than everyone else. This is your day, okay? Verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The Hebrew word there for vain a lot of times means emptiness. It means something that is brief. It's temporary. So this is speaking to how physical beauty will fade. But a woman that is spiritually beautiful in her heart and loves God, that is eternal. So this is Solomon's mom telling him, a king, think about it, he's a king, he can probably have any woman he wants. She's not saying it's not okay to find a woman that's beautiful on the outside, but also make sure she's beautiful on the inside, that she loves God and is a good person, because that is going to be eternal, not just in this flesh life, but in the eternity. You'll have her with you because she's following God. Verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, this is where we're all supposed to be praising our moms and our wives today on Mother's Day. But this is also saying the community should be uplifting you guys today. That we should all be looking at everything that you do for us and telling each and every one of you, Happy Mother's Day. We appreciate you. We're so thankful for what you do. That your works and the things that you do go before you. That we see the women that you are and how strong you are and what you do for all of us. Now, again, I wanted to go there because I see that reflected in the women in this room. And we've seen that God uses the love of a mother as the example of how he loves us. And this entire chapter is a mom talking to her son, showing that love she has for him and giving him some hard advice. Something that, again, Solomon's weakness was women. He probably didn't want to hear this. But she loves him enough to be able to tell him what he doesn't want to hear. But I want us to flip to Galatians real quick. Galatians chapter 4. Because there's something that's more important than any of that when it comes to a mom. So Galatians chapter 4. So Galatians chapter 4, and we're going to verse 4 here. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his man, made of a woman, made under the law. When the fullness of time came, what that means is Paul is saying the idea of coming of age, growing older, and the coming of Jesus. Paul is stressing that the life, death, and resurrection of Christ occurred exactly the way God planned it. And it's the fulfillment of all the covenants and oaths that we've been seeing all the way from the beginning of Genesis. And then born under the law refers to Jesus' identity as a Jew. He was born into the people that lived according to God's law. And this is talking about the incarnation of Jesus, him coming in the flesh when he became a human being. And then verse 5 there, look at that. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We are saved through the blood of Christ, adopted into the family of God, so that we can be in the eternity. But what do these two verses show us? Without women, and more distinctly, mothers, we don't have Christ for our salvation. Women and the ability to be a mother is a key factor of God's plan to save us. So on a day where we're celebrating mothers, remember that we don't have our salvation without you guys. We have to have mothers or we don't have salvation through Christ. He had to come in the flesh to save us. So that is one of the most important roles that a woman can have, is as a mother, because our salvation couldn't occur without it. So hopefully we understand that the love for a mother is one of the biggest and greatest loves we can have. God specifically uses it as the example for his love for us. The love of a mother is the greatest love we'll see in this world. But we have to remember that there's a love we should have even bigger than that. So turn to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to look at one other verse here. Matthew chapter 10. So Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to verse 37. Now again, the love of a mother and the love that we should have to our moms, biggest, greatest love we'll see. So this is not to diminish that at all. I want you to keep in mind how big that love should be and then apply it to this verse. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. These are the words of Christ. Our love for our mom should be one of the biggest and greatest loves we'll ever know, but we should love Christ more than all. So just keep that in mind, that big love that you feel, love Christ even more than you love your parents or your children. That is the greatest love of all eternity, is Christ for us and the salvation we have through him.